Begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you now and just ask that you would go before us. Lord, I pray that your word would just be powerful and bring forth truth and it would just change lives today. Lord, what we are about to invoke on and undertake sometimes gets very misconstrued and sometimes is very difficult to discuss. But Lord, we're going to do it because your word has given us the right to do it. And so, Father, I pray that you would prepare each and every person's heart, their minds, Lord, their very spirit and their soul, Lord, for this, that truth would be spoken today, encouragement would be given today, power would be received today, and a whole new perspective could be revealed today. So, Father, we thank you for this day. And for this time, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask if you would take your Bibles and open them to Philippians chapter 4 with me this morning. Last week we talked about joy in the uncertainty. And we were in just one verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Today we're going to talk about this concept of peace and peace within the pandemic. It says this in verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. This morning, we are going to talk about something that sometimes churches kind of shy away from. It is something that is impacting our world, I believe, at an alarming rate. I hear it more and more. I saw it this morning on some things that I was reading. I saw it numerous times yesterday, throughout the week. This concept of worry, this concept of fear, this concept of anxiety. When we talk about anxiety, we are seemingly treading on some thin ice, if you will. There is anxiety that cannot be helped. It is either a neurological issue where neurotransmitters do not quite function properly. It can come from a chemical imbalance, or it can come from an injury. I want you to understand today, my friends, that I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I am first a man. I am second a husband. I am third a father. And fourth, I'm a pastor. What I can tell you is that this concept of anxiety is real. For the past 5 years, I have had a front row seat, center court, if you will, to someone that I dearly love, who battles anxiety. And he does so of no fault of his own. He was injured in an accident in a sport that he loved, and it created a traumatic brain injury. My goal, my whole prayer for today is to help you in the power of God as revealed in His Word. My prayer is that you would turn the anxiety that you have into the peace that only God gives. I'm not trying to guilt anyone. But I also want to address that there is some anxiety that can be cured and can be overcome without medicine. But I know full well, and I'm thankful for the meds that are out there for people that are unable to do this. God's word is living. God's word is powerful. He gives us this concept of rejoicing before he begins to talk about our anxiety. I believe that there are three very key components to helping us move away from anxiety and embrace the peace that only God gives. I want you to see that the first thing that comes to mind as we read this passage is that in gaining the peace of God in my life, my friends, I have to make a conscious decision to understand that my anxiety comes between the Lord and me. Now you say, well, where do you get that from the passage? That doesn't say it there. Well, if we have anxiety, it keeps us from seeing God for all that he can be in our life. And here's how Paul does it for us. That word in verse 6 of chapter 4 of Philippians, when it says, be anxious for nothing, that is the Greek word of Miriam Naho. It literally means this. It literally means to have a distracting care. So something is going to distract me from what God wants me to do or how God wants me to respond. Now remember in verse 4 of Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. And then he says, the Lord is near. Now my friends, this phrase, the Lord is near, can be understood one of two ways. Number one, it can be, hey, Jesus said to his disciples, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. We know that where two or three are gathered today, in his name, the Lord is there. We know that as omniscience and omnipresence, that wherever we go, he is right there with us, and he knows what's going on in our lives. As an omnipotent God, He has the power to control our life and to direct our life. It can also mean, and many believe that when Paul writes the Lord is near, that he is looking forward to the future, i.e. the rapture, and that's the very next thing that we have to look forward to as a church right now. We are not in the tribulation. Please don't let anyone tell you that. These are the birth pangs before and the birth pains before the rapture of the church and then ultimately the tribulation. I don't know if that's going to be 5 days from now, the rapture, 5 weeks from now, 5 months, 5 years, or 5,000 years from now. But I know this, that regardless of what it is, it's as true for Paul's day as it is for our day, that we should rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is near. And we should be anxious for nothing. We should not let anything distract us from that relationship with our God. The relationship that God wants us to have. Now, I want to illustrate this in a funny way today. Hopefully you'll find it funny. I enjoy watching sports. Now, my dad thought that I would basically cocoon myself and through this lack of sports. I love basketball. I love football. I love soccer. I love tennis. I love golf. Okay? Not such a big fan of baseball. It's kind of too slow. I love hockey. I love watching sports. My family knows that I love watching sports. They have the spiritual gift of interrupting my ability to watch sports. My wife knows that when I'm watching the Hawkeyes play football in the fall months, that it's not necessarily a great idea to talk to me. We're not going to make any major life decisions in the four quarters of a Hawkeye football game. You know why? because I have something that is distracting me from something that really is probably pretty important. After 30 years of marriage, she has finally learned that on Saturday mornings, that while I'm watching a football game that my Iowa Hawkeyes are playing in, she will go and she will go to the store. It's been better on our marriage. Because she knows that to talk to me during that, and it's really the only time like that, but to talk to me during a Hawkeye football game, I am way distracted. I could say yes to anything at that moment. See, when we allow anxiety to come into our life, when we allow anxiety to rule in our life, then it is creating a distracting care, and it is moving away us away from rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and it is not giving us any peace. We are focused on the circumstances around us instead of focusing on the God of those circumstances. See, how do I gain the peace of God? I have to make a conscious decision to understand that my anxiety comes between the Lord and me. The Greek word means such. Anxiety distracts from that which we should be focused on. I worry. There is some anxiety in my life right now. I don't know that it's fear, but I'm human. I don't know of a single human being on this planet ever that has ever not worried or had some type of anxiety. In some ways, it's normal. But what do I do? I think we have to understand how it works. Worry leads to anxiety when overthinking becomes the norm. See, worry is a situation or a moment. Like I worry about whether or not I can buy toilet paper today at the store. I worry about whether or not I can find hand sanitizer at the store. I worry about whether or not if my family will be all right today. But as worry continues and it lingers, that's where anxiety comes in. That's where this distracting care of this anxious word that Paul uses is talking about. When I start overthinking everything, I stop living. And if you overthink everything, folks, you're going to stop living as well. And God never intended us to stop living. See, worry leads to anxiety when overthinking becomes the norm. And anxious feelings then take over our decisions, leading to full-fledged fear. And then this fear becomes a lifestyle, an extreme lifestyle. It's why some people won't leave their house. And I'm not talking about in a pandemic. I'm talking about they'll move away and they'll get away from people because they want to be socially isolated. They don't want to be involved. And there's stories about people like that. Some of the most successful people in the world have been one of the ones that have tried to distance themselves because everything brought fear to them. Phobias. There are so many phobias out there. I have one. It's called aeroplane-a-phobia. I don't even know if that's something or not, but I just made it up. I'm not a big fan of flying. Our drummer Bill is a professional pilot. Trust me, I stay 6 feet away from him just because. It has nothing to do with the coronavirus. We all have some fears in our life. They're different. They're unique. My fear of flying is not part of my daughter's life. She loves to fly. But don't put her in front of people. I have fear of dogs, too. I don't even know. I'm sure glad this is live. Suddenly my chest closed. God bless us. If you could see everybody here. Right? Oh boy, okay. Fear. Anxious feelings take over our decisions, leading to full-fledged fear. And God knows this. See, God wants to be a part of our decision-making process. See, as my anxiety takes center stage, then my God takes the back seat. Think about that for a moment. The more that all the worries of the world and all the fears of the world and all the anxieties that I have and all the feelings I have, my friends, when those become my center focus, then my God is not number one in my life. And when God is not number one in your life, things aren't going to get better and better for you and your thought process and your mental capacity. It's only going to get worse. See, God says in verse 6, chapter 4, Philippians, verse 6, He says, be anxious for nothing. Do not let any person, do not let any event, do not let anything in your life to take your eyes away from me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. But then He says this in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. I'm sure glad that God, throughout His word, doesn't just say, hey, don't do something. Right? Hey, don't be anxious. Okay. Now what do I do? God doesn't leave us that way. He doesn't leave us alone to our own devices. Notice what He says. He removes a negative, be anxious for nothing, and He replaces it with an amazing positive. Notice what He says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your prayer request be known to God. So here's what God's saying. Don't be anxious, bring it to me. Bring it to me with your prayers and your supplication and with great thanksgiving. Well, why would we be thankful? Because we get to rejoice in the Lord. We don't have to rejoice in our circumstances. Because God is near. He just told us that. He is there with us. Just like He was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like we talked about last week. Just like He was with Daniel in the lion's den. When the king comes over, he looks over the next morning and says, Daniel, he goes, hey, my God, he closed the lion's mouth. David gave praise to God. It wasn't me who killed all those animals. It was the Lord. When he goes before Goliath, he says, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. God is the person that we should be focused on and not all the other things that are going on around us. And when we lose that focus, then we're left to our own devices, and our own devices can get us in a world of hurt and a whole lot of trouble. You see, I have to, here's the second thing, how do I gain the peace of God? I have to make a continued effort to carry my anxieties to the one who can replace them with peace. I have to make a continued effort to do this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I want you to see this concept of prayer here that He uses. It's just, Lord, here's where I'm at. Your prayer today might be something like this. Lord, I don't know if I'm going to have a job by the end of the week. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen to me this week. I don't know what this coronavirus is going to do to maybe myself or my family or all the people that I love. Lord, I'm just telling you this is where I'm at. That's prayer. Just kind of a generic, here is where I'm at, Lord. I'm feeling tired today, or I'm feeling kind of blah or down, or man, these houses the walls of my house are starting to creep in. Or Lord, I'm just struggling with how to be a parent today to my kids, or how to be a spouse to my wife who normally I don't get to see during the week. I've been very blessed to be able to watch my wife work from home. She is gifted in being able to help run a company with her dad. It's just, I've been so proud of her. But this is where I'm at. God, I've got two parents that I love. Both of them are 78 years old. And they're fine now, but they're susceptible to this. I have a friend who lost a job this week. I have another family member that lost a job this week. God, you know that. That's prayer. Lord, but supplication is this. This is what I'm praying for. God, these are the realities that I face. But God, here's what I want. Through this time, I want to grow closer to you. Through this time, I want a sweet fellowship within our church, even though we are completely distant from each other. God, I want you to do some miracles that we could only know are your miracles. God, I want to see answered prayer. And we got answered prayer this week, by the way. I was in the midst of writing a letter to our church saying we were not going to be able to live stream because of what our governor had put into place on Wednesday night. By Thursday morning, I'm doing our 10 o'clock devotions that we do on every day of the week, except for Sunday on Facebook Live. And I get off, and my father-in-law sends me this letter that his church put out. They're in the Springs. And it says, we're still going to live stream. So I called up my father-in-law. I said, hey, Bill, what is this? Because churches are shut down. And he sent me over something that I did not know, because Paulus, while I was doing our devotional, was reestablishing boundaries for churches, which gave us an opportunity, as long as we had 10 or less and we were socially isolated here and we were social distanced here, that we could do this. Now, that dog was creeping in on my social distance. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. But God did that, folks. I don't want to lose. God didn't stop answering prayers because of the coronavirus. God is as much in control today as he was 4 weeks ago when everybody had stocks left in the stock market. And so supplication is, this is what I'm praying for. And then with thanksgiving, he says, let your requests be made to God. There is so much more to be thankful for. I read something on a Facebook meme. You know, if you think you've got it bad, there were 7 individuals in Anne Frank's house, and they had something like 450 square feet. Some of you have bathrooms larger than that. Folks, we are blessed. There is much to be thankful for. Our God is still in control. We still have a whole lot of food on the shelves. May not be a whole lot of toilet paper, but we got a whole lot of food. We have the ability to get around. Let's find every way we can to be thankful before the Lord. I have to make a continued effort to carry my anxieties to the one who can replace them with peace. Prayer, my friends, is the greatest alternative to worry and anxiety and fear. I can tell you, I'm going to put my pastor hat on for a moment. There are people that through the years have come and said, man, Pastor, we're just worrying. We're just kind of this is where we're at. This happened. And what I'll ask him is, well, how have you prayed? Do you know the overwhelming response that I get back is, what do you mean? What do you mean pray? Well, you've come and you've told me, which I'm thankful, about your situation. But I have no power to change this situation. But God has the power to change your situation. What have you said to him about it? It happens, unfortunately, quite often. Pastor, we haven't. So my next statement back to them is, why don't you just carry every burden you have? Why don't you just carry every feeling you have? Why don't you give every emotion that you've got to the Lord? Why don't you just speak to him the way that you're speaking to me? Because he's way greater than I am. I'll do everything I can to help you, but you also have to help yourself. And how you help yourself is you go before the Lord and you cry out before the Lord and you be honest before the Lord. Don't take it from me. That's what David did. That's one of the reasons why we're studying the Psalms. David, a man after God's own heart, pours out his heart before God. And if it was good enough for David, then it will be good enough for you. And what I have found when I have gone through those moments, and I shared with you a little bit about, you know, anxieties. I still have some of those even today. Some of those just worry or just doubts that work into it. And I think to a greater degree, even most humans do. Let me tell you something that I struggle with at times. Because my wife has a couple of different things physically that would lend her to be in a high-risk category. She has not left the house for almost 2 weeks now, which now puts the blessing on me to go out and to purchase food and to find things and to get prescriptions and that kind of stuff, which I am very thankful to do. I am not a very good shopper. I have realized that my time at Safeway usually ends up in about 3 to 3.5 mile range because I will go through the list as she gives them to me instead of the start in one section and just buy it like she would normally do. So I am literally back and forth across Safeway. Talk about anxiety. As soon as I walk through that door, I feel like I have to start coughing. Now, 4 weeks ago in the United States of America, if you coughed or sneezed, people would be gracious to you and say, God bless you. Nowadays in America, you cough, you die. Seriously. So somebody just coughed here. We all scared me. But we're all living the same thing, folks. Remember when I said I'm a man? I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a pastor. My mind thinks through some of these things. I'm sitting there in the store pushing that dumb cart around with the food for the week, and I'm sitting there going, man, where would be a good place to cough right now? And then your eyes start itching. Don't touch your face. Right? I mean, as soon as somebody tells me not to do something, there is a natural inclination to do it. Anxiety is real, whether it's small or whether it's great. We work through it together. So you know what I do? I say, Lord, help me get this. Let me get out of here. God bless you. Somebody just sneezed. There's this natural inclination to have fear, worry, or anxiety. So I sit there and I say, Lord, I just want to be a blessing to the people around me. All those workers that are on the front lines. I think we know who the real heroes are. You know, we call sports people our heroes. But it's those people that got blessed with maybe $2 an hour more for hazard pay. Who would have ever thought that while you're going and getting a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread? But bless those people, my friends. Cast all your cares on the Lord because He cares for you. So if you find yourself out and about and it gets a little, you're just feeling whatever, you know, Lord, here I am. I know I'm not sick, but man, this is just freaky. And there's a lot of people that are in that category, by the way. You see, prayer is the greatest alternative to worry, anxiety, and fear. How do I gain the peace of God? Let me give you verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the third thing. I have to make a courageous effort to live in the peace that only comes from God. My friends, there's two questions that I think will help you. Because when we talk about anxiety, we talk about worry, we talk about fear, there are things that can happen. It happens to all of us. There are things that will happen, and then there are a whole lot of things that won't happen. Somebody smarter than me said about 99.9% of the things that we worry about or we fear or we're anxious about never ever comes about. You just think about that. You've given your brain space to think about all the things that won't happen. And God says that I'm going to give you this peace. But here are two questions that you can ask. Number one, what is real? And number two, what is fake? Let me say it another way. What is true and what is false? If you look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, right after this verse, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, and then he says this, meditate on these things." I know it's hard to know what is true or what is false today. We are living in times where no president has ever been through this. No governor has ever lived through this. No pastor has lived through this. I shared with you we were going to write a letter. Last week I was about ready to write two other letters, and then this third letter that we were going to write saying, hey, we're not going to live stream, got completely shelved because Governor Polis changed his mind. And it's like you just live on this yo-yo going up and down and up and down and up and down, and something changes and this changes and this changes and this changes. And so it's sometimes hard to find always what is true, what is fake, but I will tell you what is absolutely true. It has the Word of God. And I can tell you who is absolutely true. That's Jesus Christ, His Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Practice focusing on only the things that solidify truth in your life. You know, anxiety is real. And to some degree, we all battle it. We all face it. But the greatness of this, my friends, is that there is a great peace that comes over us, not when you do things my way, but when we do things God's way. And God just pours out the divine path that we have to great peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. Remember that the Lord is near. The command, be anxious for nothing. Don't let anything to take or rob your attention from the things of God. Pray with all prayers and supplications and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Let the peace that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, and to think on those things that are wholly true and wholly pure. As I said at the very, very beginning of this, my prayer is just somehow, some way, that you would turn the anxiety that you have into the peace that only God gives. I hope I have encouraged you today. I hope that I've challenged you today. I want you to know that I've spoken from my heart, and I hope that it has hit your heart. I want to read this last passage of Scripture. It's just a different translation. This comes from the New Living Translation. I love the freshness of this. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Father God, we thank you for this day you've given us and for the time to be together. Lord, I pray today that you have used us here in this facility to help others as well as ourselves turn our anxiety that we have into the peace that only you can give. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.